Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 27th. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Try that again.
Okay. Take two.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Hello. This is Tori.
Okay. Well, she hasn't had a chance to talk
I'm
yet.
Sorry.
So she has to clear her voice.
That sounded like a homeless drunken man.
Yeah, or just a phlegmy way to talk.
Yeah. That's like my least favorite word in the whole language.
Yeah. Right.
Phlegmy.
Oh well, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It happens to me all the time. Sometimes, I mean, you know, when you talk. A lot of different effects happen to your voice. Sometimes I just like snort or something.
I usually just sound more and more nasal.
Really?
I think to myself. Okay. But when you hear yourself speak, you always think that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. But I know it's weird hearing you speak yourself talk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we hear the voice differently from the way we do when we speak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, wait till you be a TV host. Then you're like, well, who's that fat ass
right.
on the TV? And you're like,
yeah,
oh,
you
that's
me. You have to look at the
me.
Face too, right?
Yeah, it's me. Yeah it's crazy.
Right. But, cameras do that, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they say there's a line in Friends where Monica was very heavy when she was younger, and they go... That she goes, the camera adds 10 pounds. And Chandler's like, well, how many cameras were on you?
Yeah, right?
It's just so many. It's a good show.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah. Do you know how many seasons it ran for?
Like 35,000. No,
right?
I have no idea.
Right?
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah.
I know Will and Grace did a new, the original cast got together and recreated a scene about the Trump and Clinton debate.
Oh, really?
As if it was Will and Grace. It was great. So that aired last night. It went viral. So that was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that like after the debate?
It was
something?
Like right before the debate.
Oh, right before
it was really cute.
Yeah. What a debate it was, huh?
Yes.
Everything we hoped for
everything
more.
And more. No, my husband was like, it was sort of like watching... like the VMAs, like you wanted Kanye was going to come out. Like there was a lot of expectation. There was, and it kind of paid off, man.
Yeah, it did, really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we got two characters there that are amazing. But so I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but then they kept replaying every part of it on TV that I caught most of it, I think. You know, I was just working and stuff. And
but if you didn't watch it from front to start, what's interesting is the level of his energy was like so much like he had a sugar high and he just crashed like a little boy.
Really?
So that's the fatigue just hit about 10 minutes in. I'm like, this guy's killing it. He's doing great.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm getting sleepy.
Really?
No one's
like
clapping.
Running a marathon.
Yeah, because usually people are clapping for him and he gets the energy, but no one's clapping and I'm going to bed. And he just like went to bed. So he did not have the stamina, even though he said she didn't. But it was not. It was interesting to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about things. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell doing a presidential.
So weird.
You know what is this?
How about when he defended his reputation for racial tension and being like, "My country club allowed black people into it." I was like, "Oh God, that's your defense."
Right.
So I thought he didn't do very well, and I thought she did great.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think he did more bad than she did good.
Right.
But I think. He did really bad.
No, he did. Yeah, he did. I mean, he was trying. He was trying to be a different Trump, but he can't help himself.
It lasted, but it did last for like 10, 15, 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
Yeah,
you know,
and then
the
it was like, but
know.
A lot of people said she did what Tom Cruise did in A Few Good Men, which is one of my favorite movies with Jack Nicholson. And all she did was quietly goad him. Did you order the code red? Did you order the code red? And finally he's like, I ordered the code red. I goddamn right I did. And so he lost that. She just baited it and he took every bait.
Right.
And he got madder and madder and madder. And so it was a good job on her part.
Yeah. That's true. Who knows?
Strategy.
Maybe that's going to... But you know what the funny thing is? Everybody you ask says a different thing, like who won the debate, right? Well, some people will show you Trump 65%. Some will show you Hillary 60%, 70%. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think even like Mike Murphy of the Republican, Steve Schmidt, a Republican GOP strategist, they all said she clearly won. But you're right. I don't think it's actually going to do very much.
Yeah.
The best thing that could happen for her is she goes up 2 to 3 points... and gets some momentum and maybe pass the margin of error and starts to get a little momentum. That would be great. I don't think it's going to boost her that much, though.
Well, you never know. You never know. But the funny thing is that it's ludicrous to ask who won and who lost, because if there's a debate about that, then nobody clearly won or lost.
Yeah, I think
it's not like a football game,
But I think the only person saying he won is himself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this one was pretty clear. Like, a lot of GOP people were like, yeah, he did not win. But I think he thought he won, and that's great. What did you think about Lester Holt? Did you watch him?
I didn't get to see that much of him, you know.
No one did. He was, the whole joke was he disappeared in the middle of the show.
Right, yeah.
He hardly spoke. He hardly interrupted. He hardly fact-checked. It was like he kind of checked out.
Right.
But what are you going to do in that position? That's a
really hard
position.
The whole world is watching you, you know. And, and maybe he was just like a moderator. He wasn't supposed maybe to, he was asking questions stuff, but it was a debate, you know, between the two.
I agree, and he shouldn't have been part of the performance. He was so nervous, though. You could tell he was like, good afternoon, like smacking his lips, like he was nervous.
Yeah.
So was Trump, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It was an entertaining show one way or another, you know. I mean, the big headline on CNN is Trump loses his cool.
Did you see Trump tweeted about CNN?
No, what did he say?
He said the only poll that didn't show me winning was CNN, which is a dumb station or something. I was like, oh, you are too much.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
I don't know, man. But what's interesting is
How did he get here? Such a good question. Because I'm going to answer that question.
Hillary and Bill, they all hugged. They all said goodbye and left hand in hand swinging. And she went to a debate, like a group of people watching, and like crashed their debate afterwards and showed stamina. He could tell it didn't go well because he actually went unprecedented in a general election. He went into the press room himself, the spin room, and was like, let me explain. So people were like, well, this is not good. No one has ever done that before. A candidate doesn't go themselves. So you can tell it didn't. He knew right away it didn't sort of go well. But.
Yeah. Yeah. The one, you know, I got to tell you, for him, it's an effort talk about these things. For her, it's not an effort to talk about these things. So,
and I'd rather have the person work.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because he's really trying to understand those issues, and she seems to know them already.
And I think she did the right thing, is like, just bait him. Just give him the tweet that he can respond to. He didn't need to talk about Rosie O'Donnell, but she baited him, you know, and he went
there.
Yeah, he
about
went
the
there.
Women and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, she did the right thing. She knew how to work it.
That's true. Yeah.
And he interrupted a lot. And then the other thing is, he's the sniffles. So I wrote a tweet that goes, Hillary won no sniffs, ands, or buts about it. So he's saying the mic was defective, and that's why they picked up so much of his sniffles. But the idea that he was on cocaine went viral.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, and he couldn't stop moving and like fidgeting. And I don't think Donald Trump is on cocaine. He's actually a major sober human being. But he did look like the child in a room, and she was the teacher. He was like the 6-year-old that couldn't stay still and kept sniffling, and it was weird.
Yeah. Well, maybe he lost the elections last night. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it didn't. It was his first debate where he looked weak and tired.
Mm. Well, I would be tired. I'm sure both of them are after so much campaigning.
I know.
My God,
and then he said she didn't have stamina.
What's
happening to you, man?
Yeah.
You're deflating.
I know. Why did he have to go there?
I know. It was so stupid.
It is. You know, talk about the friggin' issue.
I know.
Man. Yeah. So there's a lot of one-liners that are good. That are all over
the prepared one's my favorite.
Which one? Oh, the prepared one? Yeah.
I think Donald Trump said is just accusing me of not preparing for this debate. I also prepared for this presidency.
Yeah, right.
I was like, what up? But that she was like waiting for that one moment to say that.
Well, we'll see. It's just that, you know, voting for her means a lot of compromises for conservatives, you know, and... I do want to go back to abortion later because we do have a guest who's going to call in a few minutes. But I didn't want to go back there because a listener did write in. And I know a lot of people, it's a very charged topic, but I just have a couple questions that I'm hoping you can answer for me. And we'll get to
it later.
Are you
talking to me? You want me to answer your questions?
No. Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do the very best I can.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, we'll continue the debate, you know. But
yes. That was a great episode, by the way. I thought that yesterday was
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. And, yeah, so we'll see with Hillary. She definitely wore the red pretty well, I think.
I thought she looked cool.
Yeah,
and she did. By the way, I know this seems sexist, but the cat eye eyeliner was really working for her. What she did, I was a makeup artist, she did a little upturn on the woman,
really?
Every woman who knows, watch this. It was navy blue, and it went up, and it was like an instant eye lift, and she looked great. I thought she looked good.
She did. Yeah. She did. Hmm. We'll see. Okay, and I'm sniffling for him.
You sound like Trump.
I know. But yeah, so in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. This is going to be exciting. We'll talk about new products and things like that, innovations. I always like talking about new things because it adds novelty to life when you have new things.
Gadgets.
Right?
Go gadgets.
Yes. So, yeah, I do like gadgets, actually, and I spend too much time on them and too much money on them. And but, yeah, I'm back to my 3D printer now, and people are asking me to make figurines of themselves.
I think this is a fabulous Etsy store idea. This is great. And it's a great way to meet women because you can, like, talk about it. It's so interesting.
But,
it's
you know, they already have stores like this in some malls that they do that.
I know.
They'll make your, like, a figurine of yourself. But, but to start, they charge a lot, and also the equipment they have is, like, huge. I mean, it's like they have, like, probably 100 cameras taking a picture of you.
That's, like, my dream. No.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right?
There's a 3D printing store down the street from me, and their slogan is so good. It is, "Hold that thought." And I'm like, oh, that's so cool because you can hold the idea in your hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what a 3D printer is, you should
wake
look
up, people.
Up. Yeah.
Wake up.
I've had one. And it does get frustrating sometimes because it's not just like the early days of regular printers. I used to throw printers against the wall and break them because that's how wonderful they were in the early days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. The paper getting stuck. Yeah. And
well, that's that famous scene from, what is it, The Office, what is it?
Probably one of those,
and they take it to the field and they smash it in slow motion, the printer with hammers.
Yeah, like, probably. I've never seen it, but I would imagine a lot of people have dreamed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, printers are so frustrating. So the 3D printers, the early ones like today, frustrating too. You have to get it right. But for the most part, you know, you get yourself a nice scanner. You get an image of the person into your computer in 3D. You print them, and then when they die, you have a little memory.
You have a bobblehead. Essentially, you are making bobbleheads of people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's literally what's happening. But what's interesting is my dog is a three-legged dachshund with a bad leg without any, like, there's a metal rod in one of the back legs. So she is like a limpy back, pimp leg at the back. And they're making a 3D heel for her to fit. To make a prosthetic for her.
How cool is that?
So that's cool.
Wow.
Bionic.
Yeah, you see, there you go. Because it allows you to
make perfect
one
measurement.
Or two of something.
Exactly.
Also.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to go and make a million.
Right.
And you don't have to create, like, all kinds of, like, plates and tools and
right, and
like
I get to print it in leopard print. And I'm going to paint the bottom of the lift in red, which is a Christian Louboutin high heel, his signature. So she's going to have, like, this big high heel. She's going to look dope.
Wow. So I think I asked you, how many dogs do you have? Two?
I have two, yeah. Two rescues, and I work at a rescue. And Josie Rose and I are an animal-assisted therapy team with Paws for Healing in Los Angeles. So we go to Cedars-Sinai, and I wear the lab coat, which we've talked about before, and we visit patients. And then we do readings with kids at El Marino. For kids who are having some trouble or challenging with reading, they read to the dog, and it turns out to be a much nicer environment.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, well, our guest is calling in
right
now.
On.
Yes, you ready? Okay, we're ready for our
Sam.
Guest now. Hi. we're talking Miss Kern, but you got to tell me how your first name is pronounced.
It's Mary Lee.
Mary Lee.
Mary
okay,
Lee
she was
along.
Right.
That's
she
right.
was right.
Yeah.
The emphasis is on the Lee. Okay.
Yes.
Mary Lee, welcome.
It is kind of like that. It's Mary Lee, Mary Lee, Mary Lee.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you're saying, yeah. Welcome to the show, Mary Lee. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
And where are you calling us from? What city?
I'm in sunny San Diego.
Everyone's from
San Diego.
San Diego.
Is that your home?
It is. It's my home, and you know, no complaints. It's
beautiful
pretty much 90% of the time here, so I love it.
Yeah.
You know what? Who would have a hard time living in San Diego? Someone named Carmen. Carmen San Diego.
Carmen San Diego. Yeah, where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
She's there.
Yeah, no. There you go.
Sorry, that was so weird.
So
no, I got it.
Yeah,
I
thank
like
you.
It.
Thank you.
Yeah, I
thank
know. You. Some of us get it, and the really young ones don't. Yeah. You know, the 20-year-olds
tuning me off
know what we're talking about. But that's okay. Marilee Kern, you're a branding and let me try and say this: branding and consumer product trends pundit. And in other words, what you do is you talk and discuss and think about new products in the wellness and health industry and fitness. Am I correct?
You are correct. I, you know, go out into the marketplace and I uncover, you know, what's new, what's notable, what's innovative, not just with respect to health and wellness. That's the topic for today, but across all kinds of categories. But, you know, we're heading into the holiday gluttony season and then New Year's resolution seasons beyond that. So I'm wanting to help everybody sort of get a handle and get ahead of all that stuff. And yeah, I found some great health tech.
Wow. So you find like cool products that are really helpful. Is that kind of the basis of it? If I was talking to a 3-year-old.
That's exactly right.
Oh, I love your job.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's just amazing, you know, how much innovation crosses my desk in a day. I mean, you know, innovation is definitely alive and well in our country, so it's wonderful.
My Pinterest board for products that I love is full and supple with really awesome, geeky
things.
Really?
I'll have to check it out. I never go on Pinterest.
Oh, my God.
Interesting.
I found a pair of slippers that have night lights in them, so you can walk to the bathroom with lights as you're walking. This is brilliant.
Have you heard of that one, Marilee?
not quite that one.
I know, but that's cool. But tell us some of the other things that are out there. A little bit background on you. You said you're from San Diego. Is that where you lived all your life, or have you moved from some? Did you grow up somewhere else?
I did grow up somewhere else. I'm from South Florida, so I have a penchant for beaches, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I grew up in South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, but I've been in San Diego about, I would say, 14 years now. I get out east quite a bit.
Yeah, sounds good. So I would imagine you probably get to travel to shows and things like this around the country, maybe around the world, right?
I do. In addition, actually, to doing product reviews, I do destination reviews as well.
Oh,
hotels
wow.
and restaurants and events, you know, all over the place. So,
how do you get this job?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
You probably created, right?
Yeah, you know, travel journalism, you know, it's a wonderful job. And, you know, there's just so much to report on out there. And I enjoy every moment of it for sure.
Awesome. So, okay, so you decide, and how did you become interested in all this health stuff?
My personal sort of lifestyle kind of precipitated things. I myself, back in the day, you know, was a fitness competitor. I'd won various fitness competitions, and, you know, so it's very important in my own life. And that sort of led me to have some marketing and PR-oriented jobs in the health and wellness and weight loss fields. And that sort of ultimately led me to write a children's book relating to childhood obesity, a fictional book, which has now been transitioned into an app as well. So it's just sort of my personal, you know, lifestyle and my beliefs and, you know, what I wanted for my own family has sort of, you know, followed me through my career path as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how can people get the app? What's it called?
It's the Kids Making Healthy Choices app.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And that's on iTunes. Yeah,
nice.
Kids Making Healthy Choices. And basically, I won't deviate too much, but it has the full copies of my books, which are in both boy and girl versions, because I really wanted the story to resonate. So both books, the full text and images are in the app, but there's also recipe suggestions and tips and resources and links for parents and all kinds of other helpful
stuff. Oh, that's
great.
Right. Now, Marilee, I see the website, theluxlist.com. Tell us a little bit about that. Is that your website?
That is. Yeah, that's, okay. You know, the property through which I do my reviews, and it's a syndicated column, so to speak. So when I write an article, you know, I'll do my research and I'll write an article, whether it's a hotel or a restaurant or a great category of products like we'll be talking about today. Yes, all of those findings are reported there on the Lux list and elsewhere. You know, my articles run with print and online publishers, you know, worldwide. So,
sounds good.
You know, but yeah, if you're looking for gift ideas or travel ideas, definitely check out the Lux list, and you can find, you know, a lot. There's a lot there.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's talk about some of the products. We want to get a little more specific. What is it that you're impressed with these days? What is it that we should know about?
There's so much, but, you know, especially since, you know, flu season is literally right around the corner, holiday travel season as well. Both are prime times for the spread of illness-inducing germs. So I found some really cool light-based technology solutions that can keep you healthy while on the go. One of them is the Germaway UV Junior Surface Sterilizer Wand from a company called Cure UV. And this is a travel-friendly handheld wand that uses ultraviolet C light to sanitize and disinfect surfaces no matter where you are. So at home, a hotel room, restaurant, doctor's waiting room, you know, anywhere germs are sure to lurk, which, let's face it, it's pretty much everywhere.
Wow.
It's cool because it uses advanced UVC light that the hospitals have been using to sterilize equipment for over 30 years, but now this technology is available to everyone, you know, everyday consumers, and at economical price points. For example, this wand's less than $50. So, you know, pretty impressive considering how effective it is. It'll kill up to 99% of bacteria, viruses, fungus, molds, all kinds of pathogens, even allergens like dust mites. So when I go to a new hotel room, I bring my little wand, and, you know, I go over the linens, I'm in the bathroom, you know, it's really helpful.
So just directing the light to these surfaces will actually disinfect them?
Well, you have to say a spell.
Exactly,
you have to use a Harry Potter spell. When you use
okay,
the wand, you have to say
it is a wand.
A Cacio Spaghetti-O. No, but that's very cool. Yeah, laser lights have been in hospitals for generations to sterilize.
Right. Is that the same light?
Yeah, that food manufacturers as well, and it's just been so, you know, cost prohibitive for it to hit the consumer marketplace. So now there's more realistic gadgetry, you know, that makes sense for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how much does that one cost?
That's about $49.95, so less than $50 at CureUV.com.
CureUV.com.
Sam's really kind of clean freak. I love it.
Yeah,
and this is good for you.
Yeah,
this is
very good. Germaphobes out there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I'm not a germaphobe, but
no,
I got to tell
like
you.
It clean.
When I go to a hotel room, I don't care how fancy the hotel is.
I know.
I don't feel comfortable there, you know?
I know.
I mean, you don't know what people do in hotel rooms.
That damn 2020 about the damned hotel rooms has ruined everybody's lives. Everybody.
Yeah, you know, but that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Something like this. And the fact that it's so effective, I mean, 99%+, you know, effectiveness. So you can't beat it. And by the way, it also kills odors.
Hmm.
You know, the same microorganisms that cause odors, this kills as well. So
you could use your pet on your couches. Yeah.
Sounds good to
me.
It's definitely worth it. Okay, let's go to the next one. What else should we know about?
I found on the fitness front a really cool headphone item. It's the Jabra Sport Pulse Wireless Bluetooth headphones. And the first thing I love about these is they will literally stay in your ears no matter what activity you're doing, even something like gymnastic tumbling, if you can believe it.
Wow.
They really stay put.
That's the first question.
Well, you know, my ears, I don't know if they're...
They don't work.
Weird, but I have a hard time keeping them in.
Totally.
These are amazing. They stay. And, of course, the fact that they're wireless and that they'll connect to your music player via Bluetooth is super convenient. It makes them more comfortable. And then as far as music goes, they provide immersive, top-quality Dolby sound, so the audio output is fantastic as well. And the wearer can actually control the music playback, adjust the volume, take calls, all of that, just tapping on the earbuds themselves. All the controls are right there. But best of all, even beyond all of that great tech, they're more than just earphones. They're actually an all-in-one training solution with a built-in heart rate monitor. So you could say goodbye, you know, to those uncomfortable chest straps or those rich wristwatch type of monitors. These have built-in heart rate monitoring technology that measures your heart rate through your inner ear.
Wow.
So, you know, and in fact, they're the only earbuds proven to deliver clinical grade accuracy with that process.
What's the name
of
them again?
Earpiece. What was that?
What's the name of the earbuds or the
These are the Jabra Sport Pulse wireless Bluetooth headphones.
Jabra.
So the fact that they, you know, take your heart rate through your ear to me is just amazing, and they interface with a specialized app, the Jabra Sport Life app, that ensures you're always training in the right heart rate zone, and it just kind of allows you to better plan and monitor and evaluate your performance in real time. So the fact that it interfaces with that app and gives you real time information as you're training is fantastic.
Sounds awesome to me. I mean, you know, the thing is that, also with the wireless, I mean, now with the new iPhone, you're going to have to get a wireless one. Yeah. So you might as well get one that takes measures of your health, I guess. You know, I don't know. But
it's true.
Sounds interesting.
It's true. And these also, by the way, have in-ear coaching that gives you real-time feedback. It helps keep you updated on your workout progress. So, you know, if you want that coaching to kind of engage at specific intervals of your training, you could set it that way. If you want some kind of on-demand readouts or advice, you just tap the earbuds. So it's very interactive, you know, with that app.
Can it just help my self-esteem, like, in general? I love this.
Well, the fact that you're exercising should do that.
That's exactly right.
There you go, Tori. You see, there's always an answer to everything.
That's always an answer. Always.
All right, Beverly, the next one.
Next, I want to talk tech-driven health as it relates to a really cool online community called Social. It's spelled with an X, X-O-C-I-A-L, but it's pronounced Social. And they're using technology in a unique way to help health and fitness-minded individuals engage in what they call, quote-unquote, competitive kindness to support important causes. So the company's essentially gamifying goodness, helping cause-conscious and other kind-hearted athletes or fitness enthusiasts or anyone really out nice each other by supporting important causes that are health related or otherwise by doing good deeds, you know, just to make the world a better place. So you gotta love that. So for example, Social uses its web-based platform to connect people to organizations and health related causes they care about. So maybe in October you want to create a fun fitness-oriented challenge to support Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So with Social, you can do that. And, you know, it just kind of inspires people to take action in the form of friendly competition against other do-gooders. So that's the cool thing. It has this kind of competitive element. They have what's called an XO score, so you can actually kind of quantify how nice you are. There's an actual measurement for it.
There you go, Tori likes that.
That feeds that spirit of competition. So, you know, if you want to put together a run or a walk or a hike, you know, but again, you're benefiting some good cause, you can do that, you know, completely free of charge through this Social platform. It's really cool.
There you go. You see, I like things like this because they really take advantage of the fact that the internet is accessible to so many people, you know, and you can actually connect them in things like this, you know. So this is awesome.
It's true, and I love that you're using social media for something besides taking selfies.
I know.
There you go.
Let's use it for good.
I'm telling you, all that narcissism I'm seeing online is just amazing to me. And then, you know, it's the same people that are showing their pictures all the time of, like, in bikinis and stuff, suddenly, you know, where they get the 2,000 followers or whatever, and they really are just... You know, then they want to give you, like, great advice. You know, it's like, oh, it's about inner beauty. So, you know, I don't get it. But anyway, we digress. That's social media. Okay, Merely, real quick, a couple more things that you have to tell us about.
So how would you like to have six-pack abs? Create those while you're just lounging on the couch.
Yes, please.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, yes please.
Yes.
So the next item actually can help you do that. It's a high-tech way that athletes and fitness fanatics can really step up their game. It's a device called the Compex Muscle Stimulator. It's an FDA-cleared gadget, once only available to elite professional athletes. Now all kinds of athletes and fitness enthusiasts at home are using it. And basically, it's a mobile, handheld, electronic muscle-stimulating device. It gives multiple benefits. For one, for rapid muscle recovery, it'll help alleviate the soreness post-workout much quicker. Also, will actually build muscle density, strength, and size. There's a ton of other benefits as well. But basically, you strategically place easy snap-on gel electrodes that come with the system on various areas of the body that you want to address. So if you want to work your abs, obviously you would put them there, put them on your legs, your chest, whatever you want to build or help recover. And then through this controller mechanism, you deliver electronic currents of varying strengths and durations that you completely manage. So it's never too much or too strong or too little or too long. You're in complete control of it. And it's not painful at all. It kind of, you know, makes it feel like you're having a muscle spasm, so to speak. Yeah. But, you know, doing this in a very strategic and guided way, this will help you actually build muscle while you're laying around.
Wow. So, I know this is stuff they use. Don't they use that in, like, places like, after you get hurt or something, they like, you go to a doctor, like chiropractor or something, and they use
you're thinking of interferential stim.
Or something like that, you know, but it makes it makes spasms in your muscles and things like that. But, this sounds like, and I know it's a very, relaxing type of thing, too, you know, so it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I personally do enjoy it for me. You know, I don't mind, you know, the muscles jumping around and just, you know, the knowledge that, you know, it's doing some good, whether it's helping, you know, my muscles recover quicker from a workout, I'll be, you know, good to go quicker, or I'm really sore, my calves tend to get really, really sore, it helps me kind of get past that quicker. And then, you know, growth, you know, abs, sign me up.
All right, then. And finally, you have one more thing for us to discuss before
I
we...
I do. Next is sort of a good thing for bicyclists. It's the Fly 6 from a company called Cycleek. And this is a combination bike taillight and always-on rear-facing HD safety camera. It replaces an existing bike taillight. It flashes to ensure that oncoming traffic and everybody else can see you, which that's not entirely unusual. You know, I see those often, actually. But what makes this extra special is that it also records in real time whatever's happening behind you as you ride so that it captures what transpires in the event that there's an incident and, you know, you need to see exactly what happened. So it's intended to make motorists aware that they're being recorded, you know, with the hope that they'll provide bicyclists with additional space and, you know, respect while sharing the road with them, making the whole thing safer for everybody. And it's really great. It captures super crisp, wide-angle HD video recordings with audio, by the way. And it goes for about 6 hours of video on a single battery charge. And some people just think it's cool to, you know, kind of like a GoPro.
Like a GoPro.
Yeah, like a dash cam on your back, you know? Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah,
very cool.
Exactly. Except the only problem with that is it's only useful after the fact, and, you know, and sometimes it might be under...
This is preventative.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't know how it's preventative.
Well, it's like anything you're always watching. You don't need it until you need it.
Right. If you're watching someone and they hit you, you have proof that they...
But that's what I'm saying. It has to happen after they hit you, and God forbid that happens, you know. But at least you have a record of
it.
And,
that's right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I installed a dash cam on my car because today you can videotape everything, you know. So why not do that as you ride the bicycle? Yeah, absolutely. And people can get that where?
That's at Cycleek, which is cycleek.com.
Everything is with a Q or a K or an X.
Because they online you have to invent new words.
Yeah, exactly right.
One-word domain names,
that's right.
You know?
I mean,
that's what it boils down to. But, Merrily, thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you if they want to?
People can go to my website, theluxlist.com. There are links there to get a hold of me. Yeah, and, of course, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, I'm all over social media as well, so I'd love for folks to follow me and like me and all that good stuff.
Right. Okay, well, we like you already,
I'm
so there you go.
Like,
you're very cool. Merrily Kern, thank you so much for calling. Great stuff. We like
very
this stuff.
Cool.
So keep calling back with new things. We'll always be glad to talk about that.
Thanks
so, okay, thank you. All the best to you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, you know.
The future is now, Sam.
The future is now, I'm telling you. And all these things that are available is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, give me gadgets.
Yeah, all day long. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. All day long.
So this is cool. Yeah, so the website is deluxelist.com. That's luxelist.com. And you can find out more and so forth. Okay, we talked about the debate a little bit. They're saying that sex is a workout and other weight loss myths. What I'm saying is, where's my mind today? I'm still thinking of those gadgets and what I could do with them with the spasm for the six pack.
The six pack spasm?
Yeah.
I tried that in college and it felt almost like a punishment, but I think it was the first beta testing of that thing.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? I'm sure this one is much better. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So anyway, they're saying there are definitely a lot of weight loss myths, and sex, and having sex is one of them. For example, people think that if you have sex, you're losing a lot of calories and it's like a great workout, right? Well, apparently that's not the case. And they're saying that you really don't lose that much. Let's see how...
I mean, it depends, right? On like what you're doing? Like...
Look what they're basing it on. They're saying, okay, sorry to disappoint, but for an average sexual encounter lasting 6 minutes, okay?
Six minutes. A C
but
plus.
I think they're talking about like only the pumping part, okay, which is 6 minutes, okay? Because I can't imagine they're saying, hey, from the moment we start like hugging each other, it's not. Okay, so actual pumping, okay, for 6 minutes, an average man in his 30s burns just 20 calories. And as the article further explains, this is just 14 more calories than just sitting and watching TV.
Yeah, but I think it depends on how enthusiastic you are
about
your romance.
That's true. Okay, listen, you can be really athletic.
Yes, what if you have a very...
So you lose 40 calories.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's like a 300-calorie burn unless you guys have like swings and shit going on. And maybe you're doing acrobatic work like Cirque du Soleil. But you know what? It's not going to be a tremendous amount of weight loss. Just add the ab spasms while it's happening.
Exactly.
That thing will work both.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a lot of other myths they're saying. You know, like for example, they're saying that losing a lot of weight fast doesn't keep the weight off as much as losing the few pounds slowly. They're saying that the studies have shown that losing a larger amount of weight fast in the beginning has been associated with lower weight in the long term.
Hmm.
So there just isn't evidence to go slow and steady when it comes to weight loss.
Hmm.
Very interesting, right?
Yeah.
So other things like that, you know. But for the most part, I don't really get involved in weight loss because I don't have to deal with it.
Right. And it's always, there's a lot of scammy, sketchy people out there with weight loss.
Yeah.
That whole industry of supplements makes me very nervous.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, really effing nervous. I don't know. Be careful about everything.
Yeah. I know. So, listen, I wanted to talk a little bit about abortion, if you're up to it.
Sure.
Because we managed to have intelligent conversations about charged topics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so when we last left this, I think we sort of like agreed that there were some problems with abortion, although there was a lot of justification for some of it, for some reasons, right? For certain reasons, and you gave three reasons why women will have an abortion, and two of them we established are like a foregone conclusion, if it's against her, if she had sex against her will, or you said if it threatens the health of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What was the third one?
Well, this is not all reasons people have abortions. I was just naming a hypothetical. I think people have abortions for tons of different reasons, and I can't categorize it into one. But I was going to say, if you're not properly prepared, what's interesting is it doesn't matter, because I don't want abortion. No one wants abortion. No one's pro-abortion. I'm just pro the idea that it's up to a woman to make that decision.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so let's discuss that for a moment, okay? And let's say, for example, any decision that a woman wants to make about her body, she's free to do. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There shouldn't even be like a conversation about it, because it's a foregone conclusion. Look, I want to get a breast augmentation. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's my body, right?
Right.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, here you're involving another life now, mm-hmm. okay? So it's not just your body. You have mm-hmm. to answer for killing an unborn child.
But you're now creating the definition of life, and I think that's where we're never going to come to a consensus on this.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Have you heard of partial birth abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay, so let's tell people what it is. Okay, tell me what you know about it is, that it is. Or do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me do that. Okay, so a partial birth abortion, it's not for the faint of heart, folks, but I'm going to describe it pretty much as the person that performs the abortion pulls a living baby feet first out of the womb and into the birth canal.
Okay.
Except for the head.
Okay.
Okay, you don't want me to go into
No, because I think you're saying a living child, and I hear what you're saying. It's a terrible thing. Third trimesters abortions have been banned in a lot of states unless it's a life-threatening thing. No one wants this.
No, but they're killing the baby here.
I know, but you're trying to gross
sucking
people
out. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't mean to gross people out, but what I'm saying is let's think about what they're doing.
But that's what I'm saying to you is third trimester partial birth abortions are extremely rare compared to those who are making decisions within the first 4 weeks, 6 weeks. So I think a lot of people who are pro-life like to show those pictures and show that. And I think it's a small amount. And no, third trimesters are very much banned in certain states. So no one's arguing that that's a terrible thing.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. I mean, you're saying a small number. What apparently, and this is from 1997, okay? It appears that childbirths are performed 3,000 to 5,000 times annually, okay? Maybe that's a small number compared to the rest of the abortions, but what I'm saying is this is 5,000 times that we're killing a baby. And it's hard to just go, excuse me, go about your day thinking that these things are happening. And I don't think if we distance ourselves from these images, it's going to go away. And look, what I'm saying is this. I think the decision about whether you want to have a baby should be before you get pregnant and not after. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a man's point of view. But what if you get pregnant and you're a woman, yes, and the man walks away and you didn't mean to? That decision is no longer yours?
No, it is.
But you're saying it's not.
No. What I'm saying is not the decision to kill the baby. Okay.
But you're calling it a baby again. You're creating a definition of like life.
Okay, so at what point in a pregnancy do you think most abortions happen?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I can't
so
give that
how
effect.
Can you tell me that I'm wrong?
Because first of all, third term abortions are much, much rarer than first and second term trimester abortions. That's just a fact. And I think calling it a baby no matter what is putting a definition on it that isn't concluded or conclusive. Some people say it's the first breath. Some people say it's the fetus. Some people say it's the sperm. If you can't make a definition, I don't think you can accuse people of anything.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't think there's a consensus on when life begins, and therefore I think it should be up to the woman. I really do. That's just my point of view. I think if you were a man and you had to get pregnant, you wouldn't want government telling you yay or nay.
No, but what I'm saying is but what I'm not getting, though, is why, if we're not sure about whether there's life or not,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you want to err on the safe side?
I totally hear that. That's a very valid comment. But the idea behind this is it a woman's choice or not?
But why? No, okay. Let's say it's a woman's choice what to do with a baby, but not. But how about how about adoption? What's wrong with adoption?
A lot of people make adoption. I think that's a great choice.
So the thing is, I think some women that get abortion are just like, they don't want to deal with the hassle.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, I hear you, but I have a lot of opinions about a lot of other people that are none of my business.
Right.
And I don't think you should be part of my business, in my business. I think a lot of things about people who do things that I think are stupid, but I also don't think I have the right to make that decision for them.
Right.
That is my opinion.
Okay, so then we had the hypothetic that what if 5-10 years from now we realize that all these what you said, are not sure to be babies. We find out that there was actually life there at that point, okay, in the second trimester or something, okay? Maybe the end of the second trimester. I'm not sure. I don't know that.
But that's the problem.
It.
You can't, like, fight hypotheticals, because in 5-10 years, right, what if we find out that isn't the case?
Right. So nothing happened. Well, I mean, what's right. the damage if we adopted these children instead?
The damage is the precedent and slippery slope of saying you have control over my body. That is it.
No. I don't think. I think there should be a consensus rather than saying you're telling me what
right.
to do. That's not the
but
point.
But I don't think we're.
But I can say that about a lot of laws.
Totally.
A lot of laws that tell me you can't do this, you can't do that, and I have to live with the law.
Is there any law that tells you as a man something you can or cannot do with your body?
As a person, yeah. not as a man. I mean, something that would apply both to me and women.
Well, I'm saying for a woman, this is
right.
a fight that we have to
because
fight.
Because I think that's very unique to women, to be the only sex to be able to create life.
I think so, too. In that case, maybe let them make that decision.
But that's a responsibility, I think, that comes with delivering a life.
Yeah, but they're the ones doing
this world, right.
And I don't. I agree with the consensus idea, but Sam, I really yeah. don't believe we ever will get to a consensus due to just right. honestly our biblical, religious, ideological, philosophical backgrounds. No right. one will have a consensus to be like, you're right, it's here. So in that case, I think you leave it up to the woman who has the miracle of childbirth to make that decision for herself.
Okay. And finally, my question is this, and that's just an innocent question, okay? But my question is, if women love babies so much, why are they so eager or freely just want to dispose of them?
That's like the most gross question you've ever asked.
Why?
Because we aren't excited to dispose of them. Nobody wants an abortion. Nobody is
no,
interested in abortion.
I didn't say excited, but...
So eager.
The ones that... Okay, many that have abortions... Okay, they would rather have an abortion than have the baby, right? Why? Why?
It's none of your business. That's why? Their choice.
No, but I'm not telling
them. It's none
them,
of your business.
Okay. No, but I'm not. Why?
Because it's a woman's choice whether or not she makes a decision for herself.
No, but
herself.
I'm asking you, but give me a couple of examples.
Of what? Why?
Of why somebody would have an abortion.
I don't understand, basically, if I give you examples and you refute each one, it doesn't really lead to an example because these are all hypotheticals. People make decisions for themselves for over 100 million different
Great,
reasons.
Great, so give me a couple.
But why? So you can refute them all? My choice is any decision they make should be theirs. Mm-hmm. So you're going to refute my little three ones I came up with.
Oh, okay.
You are. And I'm going to say
think
it doesn't.
About that.
Right, because no. there's a million okay. and I don't know every single one.
Right.
And to be honest, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. My body is my body, and I want government off of my body.
Okay, so now, okay, but what you're saying is okay. I mean, I get what you said about refuting the points, but maybe that we'll just leave that statement there. I don't know what else to say.
Well, when you ask me why do people have abortions, there's a 100 million gazillion.
So tell me a couple, because I don't understand. No, because I don't understand why they.
So obviously, the race. There's incest. There's what if someone.
No, but we already talked about.
Okay, so let's say they're not prepared. Let's say they don't have money. Let's say they don't have a shelter. Let's say they're homeless. Let's say they have AIDS. Let's say they have a disease. Let's say they. I mean, there's 100 million
okay,
reasons.
AIDS is not the same as being poor and all that stuff.
I know, but do you want to pass on AIDS to your
away.
Child?
No. But that's what I'm saying. At that point, I think you're making sense. But that was part, I think, of the one.
If you're
where
homeless, it's
you're,
not. If,
you're endangering the baby or okay. or the mother.
I think it's not my business what the choices are, and there's too many for me to discuss. Mm-hmm. And I know the conservative viewpoint is to go after each one by one. But the idea is it's a slippery slope if you say I can make that decision for you, and I disagree with.
No, I don't think we make that decision for you. I think it's a pretty easy decision to say, you know what? If I can't have this baby, then I'll give it to someone who can.
But what if you don't have access to a hospital? What if you're poor and homeless and living underneath a bridge? What if you can't have that baby
but that's,
healthy?
That's, okay, that's, look, that's very like... No, that can happen in the hospital. I mean, you don't have to.
You don't have insurance. You can't go to a hospital. You're
they're
gonna
not going
to
let you have a baby
you don't
in
how,
the hospital?
Do you know how much money that would be for them to then bill?
No, I know. But if you walk into emergency and you're having a baby, they're not going to deliver it?
I think they would deliver, and then you're get cost with a huge amount of debt.
But you said she lives under a bridge, so who cares?
She doesn't have any neonatal medical care. She has never seen a nurse. She has never paid for any testing. I mean, this is someone who has no access to anything. I mean, again, that's none of my business
right.
because that's her decision to make.
Okay. All right. Well, so, showing once again that political shows don't change anybody. But at least we're here to really air out opposite views.
True.
I like that.
Totally.
You know, I like it because I never had that where somebody would come up with valid points on really serious things. So
totally.
I never really got
and
into it on
yeah,
the show.
And we're not arguing. I think we're making a really interesting... That's what America's about,
yeah.
Political debate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when I say arguing, I refer to debate, not
totally,
to fighting.
Totally, me too.
You know, because...
Totally.
Look, because arguing is not about fighting because, look, you have like arguments in court.
Right, exactly.
Right? This is my argument. This
really,
is your
it's
argument.
Aristotle who created the word argument because it's like how you, it's almost like a lawyer giving in a statement as you're arguing your case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not about the fighting thing. People think, oh, if we argue at home, then we're fighting.
Right.
No, you can disagree.
Very true.
And not fight, you know?
I will kill you later. No,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let me close this page about partial abortion, partial birth, because it's terrible. Okay, the last thing, I mean, so we'll end on a good note. I guess this airline captain is a woman, and she's 26 years old, and her co-pilot is a 19-year-old male, and they're flying airlines.
Wait, you can be 19 and fly my plane?
He can be the co-pilot at 19, but she's 26. She's the captain.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, would you fly with a
26-year-old? I don't know.
Regardless of whether she was a man or a woman.
Seem very, very... Oh, I don't care if you're a man or a
exactly.
woman.
Exactly.
I'd like you to have some life experiences.
Yeah. But they're saying that they think it's a big deal. It's a woman and stuff. So, okay,
wait, what
I'll go for
wait,
that.
Wait, a woman airline? This has to be in some other country.
I think it is.
Okay, because a female American pilot is not that exciting, to be honest.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you. But there
it's
is
on a British airline.
Oh, there is a Saudi Arabian airline that has three women pilots that manned a plane that landed in a country they couldn't drive in legally.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They're not legally allowed to drive, but
Saudi
they able...
Saudi pilots.
Yeah, females.
Wow,
they aren't
female.
Allowed to drive, but they flew a plane and landed it. The
Are
whole
you
crew,
serious?
The whole crew was women
wearing burqas and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? I don't think it was full burqa,
yeah,
but it was
I mean,
head wraps.
Yeah.
Absolutely, hijab.
Yeah, but nobody sees them. Who cares?
It's crazy.
Right? Yeah.
You can't even drive.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll just fly my plane there. Mic drop.
I know. I mean, look at how many. I mean, how many hours could she have accumulated?
26,
and I'm
man.
Thinking of like, yeah. I'm thinking, how many hours?
I'm worried about the 19-year-old co-pilot. That guy isn't even drinking. What's that guy doing? Is he seeing a boob? Like, I'm not happy about that.
No, I know.
19, my God. Yeah. I was making terrible decisions at 19.
I know. I hope they don't make a mistake here and hire the wrong person. They're saying there's 130,000 airline pilots in the world.
Hmm.
130,000. That's a lot.
It's a hard job.
And
very
just
hard.
450 are female captains.
Yeah, well, we're getting there.
Yeah,
give us time. You guys just allowed us to be captains.
I mean, look, it's after 5,000 years of being, you know, oppressed and repressed by men. Women have a long way to go, you know?
And yeah, but turn to the debate last night and you got a female president.
Yes.
I think we're doing quite well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that depends. But, I mean, they're still crying about, like, not enough diversity and...
Yeah, I don't know if crying would be
stuff.
Right, but, like, arguing
okay,
for equal...
All right,
I would say arguing for equal pay would be kind of a totally moral thing to debate again.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you.
Let's talk about that because there's nothing wrong with it.
Thank you.
So there's nothing to debate.
Good.
We agree.
So, Trump, maybe you should pay your females the same.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this Trump man.
I
That's
don't know either.
I'm just saying, I don't know about him.
Do you
man.
Think he'll do the next two debates?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
he has
I do
to.
Too.
He has
he,
to
a lot of people
away.
Say he won't do it, but I'm like, he can't back out. He'll
really?
Look like such a puss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to go all the way.
Yeah.
All right, Tori. Well, thank you once again for an exciting show.
Very exciting.
Thank you, Marilee Kern, for calling in and telling us about all these great gadgets. If you missed, you can just rewind and go back to all of them. Great stuff. And, yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. And we'll thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.